You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net.
Best-selling author L. Loren. Garrison Daniels is on the run after a failed attempt to murder his brother and overthrow his father as boss of the Enterprise faction. Knowing his days are numbered, why would he be in a mansion filled with his father's deadliest associates? One word, Melina. She was getting married, but knew Garrison could never resist disrupting the ceremony. Melina is Enterprise's top assassin, and the wedding, just a ruse to draw out her mark. She's always been Garrison's ride or die, What happens when the sentiment becomes reality? Southern Comfort, a smooth, sweet, and 100-proof interracial erotic romance. Part of the Lunchtime Chronicles. Written by best-selling author L. Loren. Get your copy on Amazon today.
Roman is a playboy, but one too many scandals has put his CEO position in jeopardy. He must find a nice girl one of the board of Hemingway Industries would approve of and get married before the new year. Tamaya is just the woman he needs with her wholesome clean image. Roman is the one man who has ever held a place in her heart, but she has no plans of marriage, only philanthropy. So Roman must prove his love and earn Tamaya's trust or risk losing it all. Everyone needs a little cream in their hot coffee. An Interracial Romance by Donna R. Mercer. For more information, visit www.donnarmercer.com. Hot coffee. Get your copy today.
You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering. MahoganySilvering.net. Well, hello and good evening, everyone, and thank you so much for joining me tonight on the Mahogany Says Show. I'm your host, Mahogany Silvering, and we've got a great show for you tonight. I had a little bit of technical difficulty, but we're going to roll right along with it. So I have the wonderful Miss Posey Parks with me tonight. She's one of the authors of the Lunchtime Chronicle series. Miss Posey, can you say hello to everyone?
Hello, everyone. Hope everyone's having a great night.
So do you prefer to be called Posey or Shantae? Or Shantae?
Posey. I mean, well, Posey. Shantae is my regular name, you know, my real name, but Posey's fine.
Gotcha. Posey. Okay. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started writing.
Let's see. I just have a wild imagination. My friends used to love to listen to me tell my little wild stories, and my best friend was like, you should write, you know, write down your little stories or whatever, and so I did, and I even entered one into a contest in high school. I used to write my stories by hand, which is crazy, yeah. And then, I don't know, I was like 18 when I wrote, I guess, like my real first story. I never published it or anything. And then I didn't write again forever. That's what it feels like, I guess, until like 6 years ago. So 2014, my husband said, you don't write anymore. Maybe you should try it. And I started writing on my iPhone. And yeah. And
all right.
Taking off ever since. So yeah.
Well, I have to tell you, I read your books out of order, because I read when I saw that Sweet Georgia Peach was up, I said I have to read that because I live in Georgia, so I'm like, yeah, I got to read that.
Oh,
one.
Okay, cool.
So, so I loved it. I mean, it was awesome. There's a hottie right there, and Lakeland. Oh my goodness, the cutest couple ever. But, like,
yeah.
They went through some stuff.
I know. But, yeah, it's so funny because I didn't realize that was my first forbidden love, interracial forbidden love story. I have another one that's not interracial. And I was like, oh, my God, I thought I wrote one before. I was like, oh, no, you did not. So, yeah, that was cool.
Well, it was very interesting, the whole concept, because of her brother. And it just, like, oh, my God, just, like, grow up, dude. You should have to marry somebody. Why not be your best friend? Because, like, now he's going to be your brother. I mean, come on. What more could you ask for? But.
Well, I have two brothers, so I know. Someone said that to me on the phone. They was like, I don't know, everybody's mad at Deacon. And I'm just like, well, this is kind of from my own experience, I guess, you know. My brother wouldn't want me to be with one of his friends because, you know, they ran together, so they did things together. And so it's like, you know how your best friend can be, you know, and it's like, oh, I don't want to be with my sister. But he did not, I guess Deacon didn't understand that wasn't the side of the person he was with Lakeland. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. So, he could be one way with his friend. She made him, yeah.
Right. Right.
She made him a better person. He didn't get that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So he didn't see that. You know, eventually you see that he eventually kind of is getting it and, you know, coming around, you know, so.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was a cute little twist on the story.
Yeah, it did. I mean, I was unexpecting some things that happened, and I'm not going to spoil it for anyone, but there were some certain things I was like, whoa, where'd that come from?
Mm-hmm.
That you just kind of, so you kept me on my toes, and that's good. I mean, I really enjoyed it. So I would definitely say, and yes, butter pecan gelato too, but I'm like, really, Georgia Peach got me. I was like, yes,
I know. A lot of people like
awesome.
Sports romances. So thank you. I created a post in one of the groups, Facebook groups, asking what readers wanted. And a lot of them said sports romance. I was like, oh, it was sports romance and mafia romance. And I write mafia romance mainly.
Yeah,
so
I saw that too.
Oh,
I was like,
really?
I'm gonna have to read these now. I went through your page and I was like, okay, I'm gonna have to read some of these because I'm just getting into mafia romance. That really wasn't a big thing for me, but I read one mafia romance and I got hooked. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, this is kind of interesting. So yeah, I know
people
say they're dark, but I didn't find them to be dark at all. I was like, okay, no, this is like real life. So.
It's kind of a different kind of dark, you know.
Yeah,
I belong to a dark romance group, but you know, it's the dark I think of for mafia is that they're crime families and they murder a lot, and I think that's the darkest part of it.
That's
so
the darkest
you can't
part
handle
of it.
The grit.
Yeah,
a reader said that she didn't like the whole. The murdering part, so much murder happening. I'm like, well, that's mafia.
It's
that's
a mafia
what they
romance,
do.
Dude. What did, yeah.
Yeah.
She's probably never watched a mafia or a show at all or a movie. I mean, I got some great ones she could watch, but, you know, if you're not familiar with mafia romances, there's a lot of violence in them. There's a lot more action.
Exactly.
But that also adds to a lot more of the excitement about it because it's almost like, you know, the life and death situation kind of ups the ante with the angst and the pull to be with someone special, you know, like your life's in danger, you save her or she saves, you know, it kind of creates more, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Like mystery or mystique or suspense or like a real ride or die, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
Because you are in the situation. Yes.
Yeah.
So I love that.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't think I would, but I really do enjoy that. It's like as a reader, you know, because not only do you write, I read too. So I was like, yes, definitely. I like that.
Yeah. My first, it was so funny because when I first started writing again, I read Amory. I don't know if I'm saying her first name right, but Amory Avant, Fear series, and it was fire. And then I read DJ Parker. What is it? Dipping Into Sin? And that was mafia. And that was so dope. I was like, oh my God, this is what mafia romance is. I mean, so I've watched a lot of mafia movies. But
I have too.
This was on another level. I was like, wow, this is like amazing. And I didn't start out writing mafia romance. I kind of just started writing mafia romance, I want to say back in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
But I always write like suspenseful, like assassin, stuff like that. So it's always killing in my books. But I was like,
action.
This is,
because you got to have a little action with the romance. At least for me, you know, I love watching action movies. So I got to have some kind of,
me too.
You know, it builds or intensifies it for me because you've got all this stuff going on, and you know, so I like it. I think that is awesome.
Yeah, keeping the reader on their toes, I would say. That's
exactly.
What it does. Yeah.
And you did that with this book, too. I was like, wow, you know, just a little twist and turns there. And Lakeland's a little badass.
She is.
I was like, oh, my goodness. I was not expecting that at all.
I didn't know she was going to do that. I didn't either. I wasn't expecting that either. That's the crazy part.
Yeah.
I was just writing
it. I was like,
oh,
okay, go ahead, girl.
You're going to do that. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Why not?
I let my characters have their way.
Yeah, because they have a way of doing that. You outline everything. You think you got it a certain way, and then, oh, they're like, oh, but no. This is what I did.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So like, oh,
like,
okay.
Oh, you add an extra.
Extra. Okay. That's a nice twist. Okay. I'll go with that. You know?
Right.
But, yeah,
exactly.
She really surprised me. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to spoil it for the readers, but I just pick up the book and read it. It is definitely worth it. I read that book in like less than 2 hours. I couldn't put it down. I was like, I got to see what happens, you know. And it was just the back and forth and back and forth. And you really got that. You nailed it. Because it was like, the will they or won't they? Or, oh, my God, they know they're too much. They got to do this, you know. They got to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it was perfect. It was perfect. I wouldn't be surprised if it jumps right up there at all. Because that was right on the money. And I can't say that enough. I'll stop. Anyway, so tell us, what was your first published book? What was that journey like for you?
Oh, wow. It was interesting because I knew no one in the author community. And so, you know, I would ask authors, I like their covers. Like, oh, my God, who created your cover? And it'd be like cricket. They wouldn't tell me. I was like, oh, okay. So it was like a lot of hard work, you know. Mm-hmm. It was a major learning experience and sinking money into different promotions you think are good, but
right.
Because you just don't know. Yeah. So it was definitely a learning curve. Samantha Posey's Love Unfolded was my first book, and it was a big book. I mean, I made a lot of mistakes. I think we all do with our first book. And then, you know, the more you elevate in your writing, it's like you want to go back and like, I want to rewrite this book and rewrite that book. And it's like, well, the readers are expecting another book from you. And it's like, where's the balance, you know, in doing that? Because I know an author who said she went back to write one of her first books. And I'm just like, girl, that it's just a lot. I mean, I've wrote over again, but like not rewriting it like that, but like, you know, fixing certain things.
Yeah,
but
fixing,
then but it, you know, I know I need to like do a deep dive, and I'm just like, but then they're gonna be like, well, where's Hidden Witness 7 if I do that? You see what I'm saying? It just pushes my writing schedule back. So it's just it's tough. It's really tough. And I think a lot of us say, oh, my God, I cringe when I read, you know,
those
books.
Book.
Like,
I was
unless
learning,
you went
okay.
to school for it. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Well, even if you went to school for it, because that's a creative writing, I still cringe to my first one.
Really? I always thought that when people took creative writing, it would just, you know, it would.
You know?
I don't know.
I learned the
better.
Basics and learned how to, you know, write a certain way. We learn what our own writing style, you know, as you grow, it changes. So how my writing style from 20 years ago is totally different from my writing style, not even 10 years ago. So
that makes sense.
You know, yeah, it's a growing process. I mean, even passing the class, it's just, you know, there's so many things that you learn over time. And it just, you improve upon as you go, the more you write. So yeah.
Correct.
I actually took the class and I was still like, oh my God, did I write this?
Yeah, I know. And it's so funny because you, like sometimes I listen to like authors that I love talk about their writing and how they cringe. And I'm like, oh my God, I love that book. What are you talking about? Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
You would want to go back and rewrite that? Please do not touch that book. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you wouldn't think that they would say that, but we all have
because we are our worst critic. Yes, we do.
Yeah,
I'm more critical of my work than anything, and I was just like, oh God, I said that, you know. You're like, who wrote this? Like, oh, I
know.
What was
that learning experience? You know,
try writing when you had two margaritas. I had so much fun writing, and I read the next day.
Say,
I was like, oh, my goodness.
Rewrite.
It actually worked, though. That's a myth. I was like, wait a minute, that actually works.
I
didn't remember writing it.
I've done that. I've done that with the blurb and was shocked that it came out better when I had a little something to drink. I was like, oh, that blurb is nice.
Like,
what?
You relaxed. And, oh, yeah. So,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I might need to write under margarita influence more often because that sounded pretty good. I can't help it. I grew up in San Antonio, so I got used to margaritas real quick.
Oh, those are, I love margaritas. Well, I love to drink, but margaritas, like strawberry margarita on the rocks.
There you go. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I'm from Detroit, and so we had Mexican Village or something, and we used to go down there and hang out, and I always had ordered a strawberry margarita on the rocks, and they were amazing. Oh, so good.
Oh, yes. They are. And I actually had a mango one time at this restaurant. And it
really?
I'm like, yes, it was good. I was surprised.
Oh,
you know,
I'm going to have to try that one. I didn't even think
sweet,
about that.
But it actually had a good balance with the tequila, you know? So, yeah, it was mango. And I think it was like the name of the restaurant was Margaritas. And they were, I guess they were just trying it out with the mango. And I said, yeah, let me try that. And that was really good. I was like, oh, yeah, I had a frozen one that time. But it was actually, it worked, so.
Yeah, I always worry about the frozen ones not being potent enough. But sometimes they,
so
I guess they're sitting
in that
liquor. Yeah.
It sneaks up on you. I thought, okay, it's not that bad. Yeah, I got up.
Right.
Sat back down.
Like,
what
whoa.
Was that? Yeah. You snuck that in on
exactly.
me. I'm thinking I'm being cute, just sipping, right? No, got up.
Right.
Oh. Like, when did the room start moving? Yeah.
Right. I only had three of those drinks because you did come in a really big glass, too. So.
Right. And it was frozen, so it's mostly watered down, right? You know? No.
I watered down with tequila. Yeah.
Right. Well, exactly. You think, okay, it's frozen. It's got ice. It's water, right? It's going to be hot. No.
Right.
So So what comes first for you? Is it the plot or the characters?
Ooh, I'm a pantser, so I know people are always shocked when I say that.
Sometimes it works.
The whole outline thing. I tried at the beginning of the year. Like, I sat down and I really, you know, tried to outline. I was like, and then I strayed from it. I'm more of a timeline person. Like, this has to happen here. Like, as long as these points happen in the story, I'm fine.
Right.
So I used Scrivener to create my character Bible, you know, for each story. And in one tab would say, like, what is it called? You know, like your beat sheet, you know, like romance and beat.
Oh, yeah.
So I kind of do it that way. And then I just say, okay, so we want to make sure certain things happen. But I just start writing from chapter one and just go. And it just happens.
Wow.
So I kind of let the characters, you know, lead me. A lot of points
like I said,
in the book.
I try to stick to it, but yeah, it doesn't always work that way. So that's why I say if you're a pantser, it's fine because sometimes that's the best, you know, just the story itself. And I think a lot of editors don't always see that, but it's like, I'm like, it's the character story. That's how they see it. You know, I go with their interpretation.
Yeah, so I'll start off on a timeline and you know, it'll stray because the character has taken me somewhere else. And I'm like, wait a minute, that was not where we were supposed to go. And so then you kind of like, I sit there and kind of just think for a minute, like, okay, where are we going next? And a lot of times I just keep writing and it just, I don't know, it just flows. It just, that's just my writing style. But I do want to try and plot again. In 2021. So I'm going to sit down and try again. I'm really going to try. And just the whole writing pages and pages of outline bothers me. I'm like, I could be writing those words in the story. So
exactly.
That's my thing. I'm like, I just cringe. I have too many books to get out. So, but yeah.
Yeah.
All
right. Do you ever do it? It's like the speed writing. You get so many words in like an hour.
Yeah, I was big on that several times this year. And then I don't know. I was in Discord. it's a writing group that's on Discord, and we would do writing sprints, and
yeah,
it was
that's
great because oh my god, I mean, just somebody, I mean, like, you know, you have people that's all around the country, so someone's in another country and it might be 4 p.m. there, and you know, it's like 4 o'clock in the morning here or something, you know, and it's like,
right.
You want to sprint. Anybody don't want to sprint. It's like, hey, me. And then you just get on for 20 minutes or 50 minutes or whatever and just bang mm-hmm. out the words. I watch a lot of live sprints too on YouTube, and they're very helpful, especially on the deadline.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So describe your writing space and what is a typical writing day for you?
Well, you know, we have this new normal. So my husband works at home now. So I have to share. Yeah, I had to create a makeshift area. And he's like working at my desk in another part of the house. So this is so ratchet. But, you know, like the banquet table or whatever that you set up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting at a banquet table with my office, but I have so much space. I actually really like it, which is so peculiar, but I actually love it. And a lot of times, I like when I was writing Sweet Georgia Peach, I had to wake up at 2:30 in the morning to start because, you know, once my kids get up for school, I have to kind of shift gears and, you know, make sure they're good to go before they start class because they're in digital learning. So everybody's here all day, every day.
Oh, yeah. All
so,
day,
yeah. So it's tough. But, yeah, I try and write as many words as I can, at least until 8 o'clock. And then I have to, after getting them ready for school, I have to switch over to marketing and stuff like that, making sure my Facebook ads are running and all that kind of stuff. So, it's hard being a business owner, I want to say, because that's what you are a lot
yes,
of times as
because
an author.
You, are.
You can't just, you're wearing several hats. And like,
yes.
I say, oh, I meant to write, you know, only write all day today, but it just doesn't happen.
No.
I wish
sometimes
it did,
really
but
doesn't.
It doesn't. Yeah.
So how do you deal with writer's block, or has that happened?
I don't want to say it's happening right now, but I kind of feel like I got stuck for a minute. So if I get stuck, I'll walk away or I'll take a drive or something like that. And I'll really like talk it out with myself, like what I'm trying to do in this particular part of the story. And then a lot of times the wheels will start turning and it's like, oh yeah, okay. I see where they're going. And then it just kind of hits me and then I'm just back at it and just, cranking out the words. So that's always a good thing if you can walk away
and
watch TV, you know, anything that gets your mind off of it for a moment if that's what you need to do, or watch an action movie. A lot of times if I watch an action movie, Supernatural, anything like that, it usually gets my wheels turning and then I'm like, okay, when I go back in the morning or an hour later or something like that, then I'm just cranking after that.
So how many books have you published?
Great question. I need to do that post where you say you've published your something, something book. I think this was 26 maybe that I just released, Sweet Georgia Peach.
Wow.
It's number 26. Yeah. I have other pen names. So it's more than that. It's probably like, I've probably written about 30 books. But under Posey. I think it's 26. Oh, yeah. I'm working on number 27 right now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So how do you handle, I mean, you said you're, like, busy in everyone's home. So do you really carve out any me time to where you get away from everything else? Because I know it's hard to do with, you know, quarantine, but do you, like, do something specially just for you?
My writing schedule towards the end of the year has been ludicrous, to be honest with you, because when the pandemic happened, I will say that I kind of shut down and I was stuck on the TV. All I could do was watch what was going on literally from March through April. And so I didn't get a lot of books done. I didn't get a lot of writing done at all. So that's kind of why the end of the year is like insane, where I'm releasing like 5 books because I didn't write anything for 2 months, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But carving out time for me is really, it can be 15 minutes if I watch Lucifer before I go to sleep, my little show on Netflix.
Oh, I love
just
that
to
show.
Unwind.
Yeah.
Go to the hairdresser, you know, like I'm going to make a hair appointment and go mm-hmm. get my hair done next week and just, you know, that stuff is just, you know, and read a book while I'm under the dryer.
While you're there,
that's
yes.
Awesome.
That's the perfect
time. I love
time.
That. Yes,
yeah.
You're in the dryer for an hour.
That is,
it's a great
you know,
time to read a book. So
when I can sit there and read
yeah.
that's the me time for me because, I mean, I'm
exactly.
it's quiet and I got to, you know, take a break from my own writing so I can read somebody else's.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, and you get lost in someone else's world, and it's so fun. I love it. I have so many books on my Kindle. I wish I could read them all. I wish I could just, like, take off 3 months and just read. Yeah. Another thing I do, audiobooks. I love audiobooks. Like, if I'm driving,
yes, I
like,
do too.
To the store or something like that, oh,
yeah,
my goodness, that is so therapeutic, listening to books.
Yeah. And it's like watching
yeah.
TV, but you don't, you know, you can see them in your head.
Yeah.
For me,
yes.
especially the
yes.
ones that have like the music in the background during certain scenes, and it just makes
oh,
it come
okay.
alive for you. And I've listened to several that are just like, wow, it's like watching a movie, but you know, because they have
wow.
all the sound effects, the gun firings or anything, you know.
Yes.
It's like, oh, you know. So I listen to it before I go to bed. Sometimes if my brain is too you know, just doing too much
that's
and I can't sleep. So I listen
mm-hmm.
to it and I put the sleep timer on it. And sometimes I'm still
oh,
awake when that when it goes
that?
Off and I'm like, yeah. So it kind of helps me relax so that I can get into the story and then my mind will stop from overworking and saying, oh, this idea and this idea and this idea. And I'm like, no, I'm trying to work on this. But
Yeah. I've listened to M. Robinson, El Diablo. Oh, my goodness. I know there were sound effects in there. I was like, really?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I don't have any audio books yet for my titles. But I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting. I was like,
yeah.
I didn't think about that. That's the first book I listened to where they had like sound effects like that in there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was cool.
Yeah. I never even thought about that until I heard my first one. It's Laurel K. Hamilton, her older books from like 2009 when she first came out and started writing,
mm-hmm.
The beginning of her Anita Blake series. And I thought, oh my goodness, it's got music, it's got sound effects, it's got, you know.
Wow.
And so she went back and did her whole catalog of books because I think she's like on book 28 that's supposed to come out February. So
wow.
Yeah, like all of her books now are on audio, so I'm like saving up my little credits every month so I can download her books. So I can listen
I know,
to them.
It
really is like watching. She needs to have her own. I mean, I would watch her just like I watched True Blood. It's, you know,
mm-hmm.
the vampire series. She has two series,
yeah.
the vampire and then the fae. Yeah, so.
Okay.
I like
okay.
both of them.
Yeah, I like paranormal. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So your series, how many series do you have?
I think three. Samantha, Relentless Chase, Hidden Witness. Only three, which is four. I'm sorry, I have not given up. That's just like a duet, though.
Okay.
But I think I'm adding another book to the Not Giving Up series. A lot of times I don't do well with standalones because then the readers ask me. So is there going to be a book two? And it's like, oh, shoot, it wasn't supposed to
yeah.
be, you know, and then it's like,
mm-hmm.
so
but
I
it becomes popular and they want to know more. Yep.
Yeah. So I do have books that aren't series yet, but that will be series next year, like Deep Seal and Nikki's Love Tour. And those will, they'll have another book. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a series, it'll start a series. It just hasn't yet. That's all.
Okay.
I have three right now. Four right now. Sorry.
Four right now. Okay. So how do you keep things fresh for yourself and the readers when you're doing series?
I don't know. It's so funny because I was just trying to, when I was writing Assassins and Mob Wives, which is a very difficult book to write, I hinted that Hidden Witness 7 was coming, but I didn't really know what was going to happen in Hidden Witness 7, and then I was just driving along, and it hit me, and I was like, oh my goodness, that would be so amazing. Nobody would see this coming. I didn't even know. Like, okay, this is great. This is great. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of times I just, like I said, things just really come to me. I don't really write it down beforehand. It's very seldom that I do. I might like start a book just so that I can, like if the ideas came to me, I might start chapter one or something like that.
Right.
So that when I go back and read, I'm like, okay, yep, that's what I want to happen. Or I might change something. But a lot of times I really don't know what I'm going to come up with.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is your favorite part or your least favorite part of the publishing process?
I mean, I think I'm with every other author. I just want to write, you know. I don't mind doing the marketing part, but sometimes it can be so tedious where, you know, you're not just running ads. You have to create the ads, you know, so you have to create the graphics. There's just so many components to it that it just takes away from writing. And that's the hardest part for me, finding that balance. I'm constantly taking more marketing classes. I'm in another marketing class right now for Facebook ads, and I've taken like four or five.
Oh,
spent a fortune on Facebook ad courses. but I know
they're
this
helpful.
Is,
yeah.
They're so helpful. And when people say that they don't help, I kind of cringe because I'm like, you know, there are billions of people on Facebook. Like, you got to think that you could, you never know who you could be marketing to. You just don't know. So, yeah, just the whole finding, you know, I just wish I could just write and not have to market. Or, social media is a distraction, and I have a problem with that. Like, I'll write a paragraph, and my reward is going on Facebook and checking my group or checking the post or posting like a quick ad or something in a group. I've got that bad, and I always say I'm gonna stop doing that, or I might put the sleep timer on my phone, like put it to sleep so that I don't pick it up, you know, or I'll tell myself don't pick up the phone before 8 o'clock in the morning, just write, you know, or don't look at sales before 8, you know, something like that. But it's really a struggle.
Yeah, I agree with you there because I can get sucked into answering people's questions or they say, or, you know, getting in groups and chatting with other authors. So, and I get stuck in
a
that.
A lot of authors say that.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be doing this today. But
And then you're like, oh my God, I lost like 2 hours.
2 hours
doing that when I could have been writing, you know, and
creating
some authors.
Or creating more ads or something, you know. But no, I'm looking around, flipping through, and answering people's questions, and like, you know how they ask those engagement questions, and I just like jump on and answer. I'm like, stop. Sonya V does that a lot too. I see hers, and I'm like, oh, let me answer that, you know.
I know she has the most engaging posts.
Really
I'm so
does.
Jealous. I was like, they're just so cool. Look at
this
stuff. Find this stuff.
I'm like, how do you do this? And you write, and she's releasing all these books like back to back. And I'm like, how is she doing that and still able to do that, you know? And still able to
come
in and start up your conversation with her group and get everybody all excited. And
I'm so happy I'm in her group because I just love it. And Kenya Wright's group too. Like they're very engaging. I mean, I thought I was engaging, but they've got me beat.
That's
like,
another one that
God.
I see it and it pops up in my feed. Yeah. Like, oh, answer that one, you know. Yeah,
yep,
take care of. Oh
yeah. You know, and you're reading everybody's comments. And you're reading all 70 comments that people.
Right. You like see who else had something else to say because it comes up on your news.
Be like, oh yeah, I agree with that. Let me say something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then it's just
let me add to that. Yeah. Yep. Time. But then I also met some new readers on there too. So, you know, it's like they liked my opinion or whatever. Then they'll start following me. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, that's so cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, those are a lot of fun. And I try not to get too sucked into it, but I like it. You know, it kind of takes my, you know, takes my mind off of whatever for a little bit. And then I have to make sure I get back to doing what I'm, you know, supposed to do. But.
Right. Yeah.
For me, that's fun, the fun part of, you know, I can market, I like creating the content ads, and I do book trailers and commercials, so if you want a commercial, let me know, or you want a book trailer ad, I'm really good at those, so I have fun with them. I just play around with them, because to me, it's another way of creating. When I get stuck with writing, it's another way for me to be creative, so yeah, just let me know.
Cool. Okay. Sweet.
So do you find it more challenging to write the first book in a series or to write the subsequent novels?
Let me see, because with Hidden Witness series, that's like a more of an interconnected series. Relentless Chase is about just one couple. But I am like a major crossover. I'm like a crossover queen. Like every last one of my books crossover. So you will find characters from Samantha's book in Relentless Chase. And so readers will go back and read Samantha because they're like, wait a minute, who is that? She has her own book, you know? So, but the first book, I don't know. I guess I don't find any of them hard to write because the only problem I had is once I get to the end of the first one and then I leave that cliffhanger and then I get those bad reviews that say, oh my God, why'd you leave that cliffhanger? Oh my goodness, I can't believe you couldn't write all 1,000 pages in that one book so we didn't have to go to book 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. You know, you don't want to pay $30 for a paperback. If I put all those, you know,
a book that was 1,000 pages. Too long.
I had to break it up. But yeah, I get that. Like, oh my gosh, you left the cliffhanger. Why did you do that? You know, I mean, because when I leave that cliffhanger, I'm as bad as the readers. I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to go ahead and start writing book 2 because I want to keep writing. Yeah, I want to know what's going to happen.
I want to know what's going to happen next. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's a lot of times where I am. But if it's like an interconnected series where, you know, you end, like I end Hidden Witness 2 and go on to Tony's story for Hidden Witness 3, then it's like, it's like a little calming, you know. And then, like, I get the whole, oh, you know, why'd you have to end his book that way? Can he have another book? And it's like, oh, I didn't plan for him to get another book. You know? But I don't really find it that hard. It's just thinking of I love drama. So just like, you know, the whole betrayal, kidnapping, that's like my specialty, terrorizing and torturing people. So as long as I can have lots of that, it won't be that hard for me to continue on to the next book.
Okay. Yeah, because I know how I am with series. If I read one and I'm really into it and I do want to know what's going to happen next, so I'll buy the next book. Yeah, because sometimes you really don't have a lot of time to sit there and read a huge one. You're right. So did you discover anything surprising while you're writing your books about yourself?
I have ADHD or something, but I feel that's what I was saying. Like I'll start writing and I have a rhythm going and then I'll break away and do something else. But I'm trying to think, is there anything else that I learned about myself while writing? I write better under pressure.
Oh, okay.
If on a deadline, and that's why a lot of times I never tell readers a release date. Like they're asking me when a Christmas book is coming out. I'm like, it's coming. I don't have a date. Then I just have more freedom to like putz around and do other stuff or take my time or whatever. But if I'm on a deadline, I will stop at nothing to get that book done. Everything in my power. Yeah, like if I have to work almost 24 hours a day to get it done, but it's just like it's so good. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's to me, I feel like it's even better when I write like that. But yeah.
Oh. So do you have a favorite book or favorite character?
Of mine?
Yes.
People ask me that all the time. I'm going to say...
I know, we're supposed to love all our babies equally, but, you know.
Yeah. My craziest character ever is Dominic Mazzarelli from Hidden Witness 4. He's Dylan's brother. And he is a psychopath, if you ask me. But he always had like little quick little comebacks and little things that he says. And he's very possessive over his woman. And everybody loves him. That's like one of my best selling books ever. Yeah. So I love writing him. And I can't wait to write his second book. I wrote him a little bit in Assassins and My Wife. It's like really easy to write him. Really easy.
Okay.
So, you know, chopping people up and stuff like that, that's his thing. So.
Wow, he's one of those. Okay.
Yeah, it's mafia. It's a mafia story. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. Though.
Yeah.
I know. It's like I've read some really gruesome horror stories. So, chopping up people, it's, you know, I'm like, okay, that's
expected. I know who writes serial killers. And I watch Criminal Minds, and I love that kind of stuff. I was like, wow, I never thought about writing a serial killer book. I'm like, oh, what is that like? I'm going to have to read one. But I always watch it on TV. So
I always love those. Interesting. Yeah, and especially how they do forensics and how they discover who the killer was. And so I'm thinking, okay, now I'm going to write something like that. I would love to, you know, play with that a little bit. So. I have some supernatural serial killers, but
oh, nice!
But yeah,
yeah.
So I'm more with the paranormal, so that's my tribute to horror or whatever. So yeah,
cool.
Do you warn people or have triggers? I mean, that, you know, about things that in the book. I mean, I know they're mafia romances, but like the lady said, she wasn't expecting or it was too much violence, but. Like, do you write a warning on your books to say, you know, hey, you might be triggered by a certain situation?
I don't, but I need to. And I said I was going to because that Hidden Witness series is so gruesome. I need to go back and put that on, write those on Amazon. Putting triggers that, you know, is very gruesome because to me, it's not a problem, but I didn't think that it would be for other readers. But like if there's any elements of, even if there's any elements of rape or anything like that, I have a series that I need to go back and put on there. There are some things in here or, you know, it's not for 18 and under or something like that, but I do need to. I'm happy you brought that up. I really need to.
Yeah, just like a little heads. I know because I was listening to an audiobook last night. I just started it, Redemption by Kenya Wright. And the first part, I was in tears. I was like crying because I could see this, you know, and it had the background, it had the noise, it had the, you know, and just I felt the fear. And when you can write that way and you make me experience what is going on, that is powerful to the point where I was like crying for this woman because, she was like,
wow,
I mean, damn, she started that book right out the gate. And I was like, oh, no. And it was abusive husband and stuff. I'm like, oh my God. But yeah. Cause it was like, it was that powerful and I'm listening to it. So it brought it more to life for me. I'm like, no girl, put that down. Run. You know, I'm like, it's like I'm watching a movie, right?
Wow.
And they're like,
awesome.
Get out of there, girl. You know, he's going to do, you know, so yes. I mean, not treated in a bad way, but when you write something that triggers emotions in people, I think that's the best writing you could do is when you write something so powerful, people experience an emotion while they're reading, you know, the same way I felt for, you know, when Wyatt got hit and I'm like, ah, it's just, Same thing. Yes. Just all the emotions that go with that, you know, because I'm like, no, he's looking, he's seeing his poor woman, you know, being yelled at, or, and, you know, that would throw me off too. You know, this is, here's the woman he loves, and she doesn't look like, you know, so she's in trouble, and I'm here, I'm on this field, you know, but oh my goodness, I was like, no.
Kennedy,
he wasn't
Ryan,
getting up.
What is it?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm
that
like,
was
no.
That was a heck of a scene. Yeah, that was that was tough.
That was a powerful scene, and that I was like, oh my God, I was like, please be okay.
She ran her hand over his face.
Yes.
And he didn't move. I was like, whoa.
Exactly. I mean, I felt that, you know, I was like, I got a hand to you. That was also a very, it was a very moving scene. I just, because I was like, what? No.
Yeah, my husband's like, my husband's like really big in the sports. Like, he can be a sports commentator. So I had to go to him a lot, you know, to write this book. You know, can you tell me about this in football and what's this play and all of this? And I watched a lot of YouTube. You know, that's the thing people don't understand. There's a lot of research that goes into writing.
Yes, it shows. It really shows. I will say that, because it really does show. With a lot, there's a lot of things that, you know, I mean, I'm a sports fan and I love to watch football, but I was also a cheerleader. But my thing, when I was a cheerleader, I learned the game so that I can know what I'm cheering for. You know, like when we have the ball, or when to yell defense, when to yell offense, you know. So our coach was like, you need to learn the game. So that she made us learn it. And I'm glad she did, because now I can experience on a different level. When I'm watching the game and I get really into it, and you really broke it down, I thought did she play football? You did some really
good
stuff.
Girl, I was researching my favorite team is the Patriots.
What's his name?
Edelman. I was watching his plays because he's a wide receiver, and I was like, okay, I got that. And I felt like I was studying tape myself. Like, that's how long. I mean, I spent mornings doing that a lot, just like watching YouTube and learning about the draft. Like, I've seen the draft before, but then the behind the scenes components of it, I was like, really? Yeah. I did not realize how stressful it was on those players.
I watched it
for basketball, but for football, I honestly never paid any attention. But when they showed the guys waiting with the phone on the table and stuff, and anticipation, and the commentator saying he's waiting for the call, you know, how much longer. And I was like, oh my God, I felt some kind of way. Oh my God.
It's nerve wracking.
Like a TV show. Just waiting to see if these guys were going to, you know, play football or not. Your whole family's there with you.
Like,
and if you're the last one to get called after so many hours, you know. It was fun, though. Like, that kind of stuff is fun to me. I think I really enjoy.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
It was like that for real. That's why it was so realistic, because you put a lot into it. I mean, it's not just an erotic book or a romance. You put so much in there that it's like, you know, like, yes, you can see this happening for real. Like, you're really a part of the game. And it's like telling people the inside information, you know, because there are even some aspects that I didn't know about the, you know, the plays, like the whole back thing before they even get up there and say, hey, all we do is see them when they're on TV. Like, I got signed with so-and-so. But we don't know what leads up to that or what is happening in the background before that. And it's like, you know, showed everybody that. It's like, that was amazing. So I got to hand it to you. That was, you did your research, girl. You did that. You definitely did that.
Thank you. My husband was showing me something. This is 1st and 10, and this is why this is that. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, can you run that back? Can you say that again? I mean, like, seriously, I love to watch football, but I did not understand to that degree until I had to write it. But I love it now. I'm like, I can write more sports romance.
Yeah, exactly.
I think this might be my
another series. You have another series right there. Because I would love to see more of Wyatt.
Yeah, I got some feedback from some of my readers. I knew they were going to say it. I wish the book was longer. He needed a longer book. I'm like, do you know I pushed the envelope?
No, he's been longer.
Yes,
he,
was 30.
Yeah. He just needs another book.
He needs a series.
He needs his own series. Yeah. I would say,
I figured that. I can see that going in. Like, sometimes you can kind of see it.
Yeah. But you nailed it. Yeah. He definitely, definitely. I know Messy Mandy was, she couldn't,
Yeah. Messy Mandy
was
something really
messy.
Else. She was,
really messy.
She was so messy.
I'm like, I like Messy Mandy, but I'm like, no, girl, no. You gonna bust
She's
him
like,
out like
poor
that.
Baby mama.
No.
She
no.
was going in on her. She was like,
yes.
You don't believe in protection.
Right. Oh my God, no. I was so hurt.
I was laughing. I was like, no,
I can't believe that for a second. He just doesn't sound like the type at all. You know, as much as he cared for her,
This whole scandal, like for football players,
yes.
you hear that all the time. Like,
all the time.
I used to watch shows. I forgot the name of the show I used to watch, but this guy, it was on Showtime, and he would take care of the players. And I was going to put this scene in there too. Like, he had to get the women out the room after he done, like the after the football player done whatever with them.
Right.
What's the name of that show?
Is it Ballers?
Ray Donovan.
Oh, Ray Donovan.
I love
yes.
Ballers too.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
yeah,
I love Ballers.
And because the women were trying to steal the condoms with the
yes,
yeah,
with the semen in it.
And
yes.
I was like, what?
So I can use a turkey
what?
Baster for later. No.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Trying to get that money.
Trying to get
and,
that
you
money.
You know, Ballers.
Exactly.
Yeah, Ballers is the same way. And I love Ballers, too, because it shows you the behind the scenes of what their life
yes,
is
what
like.
Goes on. Yes.
I would love to write a series like that. Like, I love that kind of stuff.
There you go. Wyatt and his team, you know. There you go.
Yeah.
There's your series. I'm serious. Yeah, there's your series right there. Because, like, you get to know the players and, you know, make it maybe what each one of the players, you can set, you know, focus on one of each of the players or something, you know, in their lives that's going on. And, you know, because you really nailed the
whole
football.
Yeah, I kind of left that. Thank
yeah.
you. I kind of left that. Like, I mentioned Josh Mathis.
Yes.
Kind of like putting it out there, like he would be the next guy that
yeah.
I would talk about on that team for his own
there
book.
You go.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
It was my
so, do you
pleasure.
Have a website? Or anything that my listeners can look you up and find out more about your books?
PosyParks.com. Find me on there. It's my website. Posy One Parks on Facebook. Posy Parks on Instagram. Facebook, they shut down my Posy Parks account, but people have found my Posy Shantae Parks account. I have so many accounts because of the shenanigans with Facebook. But readers are still finding me. But yeah, my page or my my website
okay.
is a great way to find me. Or Pandora's Box is my my Facebook group.
Okay. So Pandora's Box on Facebook. Awesome. I'm going to have to look for that too. I might peek my head in. Right. And get trapped in another group, right?
Come on in. I know.
When
come
I'm scaling stuff instead of doing what I'm supposed to do. But
I know.
Oh, yeah. It's so easy to do. I'm serious.
It
but
is.
Thank you all for, you know, tuning in with us tonight and listening to author Posy Parks. I thank you for coming on the show and introduce us to your work. And I would love to have you come back another time. If you have another release or anything like that, just let me know. Or if you want a commercial or anything.
Cool. Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you for coming. So, you guys have a good evening. I wish you peace, blessings, and love.
You have been listening to Mahogany Says with Mahogany Silverain at mahoganysilverain.net. Thank you and good night.